podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello everyone, Az here with another video for Fantasy Football Scouts. Tonight I have been looking at promoted teams and how they've got on both in their kind of promotion campaign in the Championship and then how that's translated to Premier League form as well. So there's a bit of a few blasts from down memory lane. Some of these teams, some of these players, I've done some research into kind of how many points they got, how many goals they scored in both the Championship and the Premier League. And at the end of the video, I've got some predictions on how I think the top players will do from those sides and from the teams as well, and how I reckon they'll get on. There's loads of stuff on Fantasy Scout. Go check out Neil's article. He's doing great stuff on Bournemouth. I think there's one on Fulham as well. I'm just waiting for the Nottingham Forest one. And if you check out Red Lightning's article as well, that's where a lot of the stats that I've got from this video are. So head over to Scout, type in the search bar, promoted or Bournemouth or Fulham, and you can read even more in detail than what I'm going into here. So on the screen here, I've just basically selected a sample of teams that did really well when they got promoted. And generally speaking, as we'll kind of come to in a bit, promoted teams do okay in the Premier League. I think there's a 58% survival rate over the last kind of 10 years. And, you know, some teams have gone on to do really, really well. You've had teams like Leeds last season finishing, you know, well inside the top, the season before last finishing well inside the top 10 in 2020-21. Teams like Wolves as well, sort of pushing for that kind of European place and getting it in the end. And then, you know, teams like Sheffield United and Newcastle coming up and having great options for us in the likes of Lundstrom and Andy Carroll, if you can remember that far back. So these are kind of some of the top teams. So we have a look at Newcastle and Blackpool in the 2010-11 season. And what I've done is I've looked at goals in the Championship and then goals in the Premier League and then done the same for goals conceded as well. And what you'll notice is, unsurprisingly, there's a huge drop-off. Newcastle, for example, got 90 goals in the Championship in 2010-11 and then got 56 in their Premier League season. If you look at someone like Blackpool, 74 goals, 55 goals scored when they made up to the Premier League, and Leeds, 77-62. Wolves, a big drop-off, 82 goals scored in the Championship, dropped down to 47, which kind of is one of the lower ones on this list, but then had that amazing campaign where they finished kind of right up the table. Blackpool here, the only team that got relegated, but I'd still class them as a success that season, particularly with Charlie Adam, you know, getting sort of 190 points or whatever it was that season, if you can remember him before his move to Liverpool and Stoke. He was a great option for us at Blackpool. Looking at the goals conceded, you can see, you know, every team here pretty much concedes more goals than in the Premier League than the Championship. Unsurprising. It's interesting, though, like some of these more successful teams, the difference between them is quite a lot lower. So Wolves, for example, conceded 39 in the Championship, 46 in the Premier League when they got promoted. Leeds, 35 in the Championship, up to 54. Sheffield United, really interesting one. They actually conceded less goals in the Premier League than they did in the Championship, because they had 41 in the Championship, 39 in the Premier League. And if you look at the goals, as I mentioned, they scored 78 and in the Championship, and then they scored 38 when they got promoted. So there's clearly this like big, you know, shift in how they wanted to approach games, and they became a bit of a 1-0 team. So watch out for that. You know, it doesn't always mean that a free scoring team in the Championship is going to come up and necessarily try and play that way, because it doesn't always work. So Fulham, for example, they scored over 100 goals in the league, broke loads of records. Are we going to see them playing that kind of massively gung-ho football again next season? And you know, they're bound to concede more goals if they do that. There might be a bit of a tweak, and, you know, expecting Mitrovic to get 40 plus goals is probably not going to happen. I think if it did, it would be a miracle. So yeah, I find this stuff interesting. These kind of drop-offs, we're going to touch more on these kind of in the video as we go. If we're looking at some of the players here, I've mentioned a couple of these already. So Charlie Adam, he got 192 points when he came up with Blackpool. That's a points per game of 5.5, which, you know, is close to a 200 point season. I think he was 5 million or 5.5 million, something like that. Ridiculously cheap. He was just in everyone's side. Yeah, just a great pick. Bamford, he's done the best of any promoted player that's come up from the Championship. He had a less points per game than Charlie Adam, which is 5.1, but managed 194 points. So again, approaching that 200 point mark. What's interesting with these is we've also got Ricky Lambert there, 187 points in 2012-13, and Charlie Austin, 176 in 2014-15. And these are all strikers, right? We've got three out of four of the top ones here as strikers. So, you know, we're pinning our hopes on the like of Solanke and Mitrovic and stuff. And, you know, previously they have been the players that have done well. But given the landscape of FPL is changing and people are moving more of their money into defence and into midfield, and you know it's going to be harder, to pinpoint those strikers that are really going to score us huge points and get closer to 200 point mark. No one was expecting Bamford to get anywhere near 200 points in that season. So it'll be interesting to see whether Mitrovic, he's the one that kind of carries the hopes, going forward. Other notable player here is of course Stuart Dallas. 171 points he got playing out of position. So you've got to watch out for those out of position players. I haven't got Lundstrom in here, but he scored kind of, I think got 140 points, something like that, when he was a 4 million defender playing in midfield. So again, if we can find some bargains, depending on where FPL classifies players like Johnson, for example, if he's a mid or a striker, these are the ones that can kind of really, do well for us. Genuinely speaking, though, promoted players, they don't do amazingly well. I think you're doing really well if your promoted striker gets you kind of around 120 points, something like that, 130 points. If your players, are coming in and out of your side, that's fine. But if you're relying on like a long-term hold of one player who's going to get you more likely around 100 points, then there might be, not the best value. So finding a player like a Dallas or an Austin or a Lambert is amazing if it happens. I think it's always tricky to find those players, going into the season from the promoted side. And there's value to be had if you can, but you've also got to have a degree of caution that, these promoted sides might struggle as they go up into the league. That takes me on nicely actually to the fail players. So these are players who I think a lot of us pinned a lot of hopes in when they came up from the championship. Adel Taarabt, I remember him so well, one of my favourite players to watch. He came up in 2010-11, played in the 2011-12 season off the back of 19 goals. He was so unplayable at times in the championship. He's absolutely amazing. Two goals in the Premier League. Glenn Murray, Brighton legend, he got 30 goals in the championship and then couldn't replicate that, just one goal in his season after that. Sam Vokes, 20 goals in 2010-11, came up with Burnley, no goals, ended up going off on loan. Jordan Rhodes as well, he was so prolific in the championship, 16 goals in the 2015-16 season. Then when he's up in the Premier League, he gets zero goals again. And here we go, here's Mitrovic. So Mitrovic has played three seasons in the Premier League. He's got 10 goals twice, or 20 goals over those two seasons. And then his third season, he had a big fallout with Scott Parker. He got 26 goals the season before and only managed three. So, I think we're all looking at Mitrovic and thinking he could be the kind of the budget striker of choice if he comes in around 6.5. He has a temper on him. He has fallen out with managers before. He has proved that he can do it in the Premier League. Getting 10 goals is not easy. But also, I do wonder if the style of play is going to change and whether we're going to see him, really kind of unlocked in the way that he was in the Championship. So for me, I think he's going to be a bit of a wait and see. But if he does come in at 6 million, then I don't think there's going to be too many better attackers that we can partner with, Haaland and your Salah. Things like that. So he's going to be a really interesting one this season. I'm sure he's going to feature in a lot of teams going forward. So this is some of the key notes from Red Lightning's article on site. Some really interesting things here. Looking at the sort of 2010 to 22 seasons, like we've been doing before. 16 of the last 34 top scoring players in the championship managed 10 goals or more in the Premier League in their next season. So these are the highest scoring players in the championship, the ones who got the most goals. Only around half of those managed to get 10 goals in the Premier League next season. I think 10 goals is kind of the benchmark, really, for where you kind of the minimum of where you want your main striker to be if you play with one. Tony, for example, got 12 goals and something like 6 assists, and he managed around 139 points. So if your striker's getting you 10 goals and nothing else, you're probably looking at around, 120 points for him. But you add in a couple of assists and suddenly, a player for, maybe even 5.5 or 6 who gets you 10 goals and some assists is actually pretty decent value. But only half of the players actually manage it. Looking at the 34 top scoring players who averaged 20 goals in the Championship, they only managed 8.2 in the Premier League. So you can basically expect a drop off of around 50%, which, you know, I think we saw last season with someone like Teemu Pukki. Obviously, it was a lot more for him. We're going to have Mitrovic there with, off the back of 41 goals. I seriously doubt he's going to get you 20 goals. We're going to see a much bigger drop-off for him. But someone like Bamford, for example, I mean, he managed, what, 30 goals for Leeds and then got 17. So, yeah, I think this tends to be pretty consistent, I think, unless a player is going absolutely crazy. Solanke is an interesting one, for example. He got 29 goals. I mean, if he's had one season in the Premier League and been an absolute sort of fail. So, you know, if he gets anywhere close to 15 goals, then I think that'd be an amazing return for him. Charlie Austin and Bamford, they're the only two players in this sort of 12-year window who have managed to score more goals in the Premier League than they did in the Championship. So if you're looking at strikers or looking at players who, you know, might have not got too many goals in the Championship last season, it's very, very unlikely that they're then going to go on and score more goals than they did last season. So I think this kind of learning is quite important to bear in mind. Looking at the teams now, so teams in the Championship who scored 92 points or more, you've got a 70% survival rate. Two of the three teams that got more than 92 points and got relegated was Norwich. So excluding them, you've got a kind of a good backing that if you get over 92 points, then you've got a very good chance of staying up. You're a really strong side and, you know, probably stronger than a lot of sides already in the Premier League. Fewer than 92 points, it drops, but it's still around 54%. 14 of 26 survived. What this means for the three promoted teams last season, Fulham got 90 points. So just shy of that kind of magic, if we're calling it that, 92 points, but not far off at all. So you've got to think, just based purely off the previous stats, their chance of survival are around 60-65%, which, you know, I'm sure Silver would take and bite your hand off for that at the moment. I think we are going to see a Fulham side that really give it a go next year. I think they've come up before and they've tried to change their whole team. They haven't backed the players that have got them into that position. And I don't think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see some clever business from them. And I think they're going to have a real shot of staying up. Of the three teams, I think Fulham have got the best chance of being able to cement their status. I went even more digging. So there's a lot of numbers and stuff on the screen at the moment. But what I did here was I just looked at the promoted teams across the last five seasons and then looked at how they perform in the Premier League when they come up. It's quite interesting just purely looking at teams that have been relegated over the last five seasons. In 17-18, Newcastle, Brighton, Huddersfield came up. They all managed to stay up as well. Next year, Wolves, Cardiff and Fulham came up. Wolves obviously had that brilliant season. Cardiff and Fulham both fell to relegation. Season after that, you had Norwich, Sheffield United and Villa. You had Norwich going down, of course, and Sheffield United and Aston Villa staying up. So already we've got like Wolves and Villa, Newcastle, Brighton. These are all teams that have stayed in the Premier League, you know, since they kind of were promoted. So, you know, Sheffield United went kind of straight back down. So did, you know, Cardiff. Fulham went down, but now they're back up again. Looking at the 2021, you had Leeds, West Brom and Fulham. It West Brom and Fulham both going down, Leeds staying up, and then staying up again last season. And then last season, Norwich and Watford came first and second. Brentford came up through the playoffs, and it was Norwich and Watford that got relegated. So you either see kind of, you know, two teams going down, or the teams tend to do quite well. Obviously, it depends on the strength of the opposition in the league at the moment. I think we've got a very, very strong league going forward. So I think we've got three really interesting teams coming up. Bournemouth, the more kind of defensive side. Fulham are the real attackers. And then Forest are just a wild card, really. I mean, who are they going to sign? They've lost their goalkeeper. They've lost loads of players on loan. They might be losing Jed Spence. It's going to be a hell of a story if they can manage to stay up. But it's a hell of a story anyway, because they were bottom when their manager took over the Championship and he's kept them in. So yeah, I've left this on the screen. You can just have a look through that if you want. And if you look at the differences, you can really see the big differences between the Championship and the Premier League here. So I'll focus on the averages. So typically, any team that comes up from the Championship and is in the Premier League, they get 44 less points than they got in the Championship compared to the Premier League. They score 32 less goals on average, or at least they did over these five seasons, and they concede 15 more goals than they went up. And there's some kind of, you know, big anomalies here. I mean, look at Norwich, for example. You know, 73 points less and relegated comfortably in 1920. They scored 67 less goals than they did in the Championship, which is pretty crazy. And then again in 21-22, you've got Norwich, 75 points and 52 goals less than they scored. You know, and you've got teams here, you know, like Watford, Norwich, even teams like Fulham, Cardiff, who are conceding, you know, 30 plus goals more than they conceded in the Championship. So it just really kind of shows the level up. The teams that tend to do well here are teams like Newcastle, who only conceded 7 more goals in the Premier League compared to the Championship. Huddersfield, they conceded the same amount. They're the only team that kind of conceded the same amount. Villa, for example, they got 6. They only conceded 6 more in 1920. And then you've got, you know, the likes of Fulham, Leeds. So I think, you know, what you see is this kind of focus on teams trying to tighten up a little bit. There's no teams here that have anywhere near as many goals scored in the Premier League as they did in the Championship. I think the best team here is Leeds in 2021, who managed 15 goals less in the Premier League than they scored in the Championship. The next best is then Watford, who managed 29 less in the Premier League than the Championship. So you really can't expect these Premier teams to be scoring anywhere near as many goals as they did. And it's going to be the successful teams that manage to tighten up, I think, they're going to have the best shot of staying in the league, which I think is something that we kind of already knew and what we think teams are going to aspire to. But it's always nice to see them borne out in this kind of way. So I've gone ahead and put some predictions together based on this kind of research. If we're looking at the averages of teams in the previous positions, so this is first, second and coming through the playoffs over the last 5 seasons, it's looking at something like Fulham getting 41 points, probably being safe, and with that scoring 39 goals, conceding around 61, so conceding, you know, almost 2 goals, 1.5 goals a game, something like that. So, you know, again, a team's target. Bournemouth, you're looking at 35 points, might be enough, probably not, isn't normally. 35 goals and 63 goals conceded. And then Forest, which is interesting because I've got them at 34 points, actually scoring more goals than Bournemouth. The teams coming through the playoff actually score slightly higher in terms of goals than the team coming in second, and then 63 goals conceded. So really not a lot in it between second and third, which is why I think Fulham have got the best chance of staying up. My final screen here just shows the predictions for players, the 3 main ones coming up, which is Mitrovic, Solanke and Johnson for the 3 promoted teams. I've based this on 2 things, looking at the stats of how the strikers have gotten previously, looking at that kind of 40% mark and then maybe just taking a little bit extra off. I mean, I would expect Mitrovic, based on the previous season he's had and if Fulham stay the same, to get somewhere between 15 and 17 goals, which would be an absolutely amazing return for him. The issue with him, I guess, is that he's played in the Premier League a few seasons ago. He hasn't hit that hype. I mean, he's got 10 goals or close to 10 goals in 2 seasons in the Premier League. I think that the 3 goal season was a bit of a blip, and I think he's going to have a 15 goal target in mind as kind of the main striker for such an attacking side. So I'm not expecting him to get into the kind of 20-25 mark, but I think, you know, 15 goals is realistic for him. Solanke is a really interesting one. He hasn't delivered in the Premier League before. I remember when Bournemouth signed him and he just didn't look right, but he's coming off the back of a really good season for them, got 29 goals. I put him in around kind of the 10-12 goal mark, and I think if he comes in at around 5.5 or 6, I think he could represent decent value depending on how Bournemouth get on. And then Brennan Johnson, this is Mark Southern's favourite. We're all waiting for the classification for him. It looks like he might be a forward, though. He got 18 goals in the Championship. I've got him down for somewhere between 8 and 10 goals. I'm sure Mark will say that he thinks he can get a bit more. I'm just a little bit conscious of Nottingham Forest and, you know, the lack of recruitment or the players they've lost so far. It'll be really interesting to see who they bring in over the summer. If they make some good creative signings and you know, get the creativity for Johnson, I think he could be someone who gets, you know, maybe that goes up to 10 to 12 goals, something like that. But out of these 3 options, I think Mitrovic is by far the best pick. Nothing kind of groundbreaking there, but I think if he gets somewhere between 10 and 15 goals for 6.5 million, I think he's going to be in a lot of our teams, you know, between now and the end of the season. So, yeah, hopefully he doesn't have any run-ins with the manager and he can have a kick on and have a great season. just coming on to the final screen before we finish, and that is Fantasy Football Scout membership ahead of next season. I know the season's kind of just finished and we're waiting for the new game to launch, and you might not be thinking about all the stats tables and great features that we have over at Scout. But it's a great time to actually sign up because you can lock in at last season's prices. The prices are going up a little bit next season. If you sign up now, you lock in that cheaper price, and that price will continue as many times as you renew. As well, so you'll never pay more than what you're paying if you sign up. Recently, we've got a new look. The beta area, as we like to call it, is now completely live and operational. Optostats, if you're new and you don't know things about comparison tables, you've got the fixture ticker where you can filter by who's got the best fixtures and actually change and edit those based on how who thinks is going to do well over the fixtures. We've got the transfer planner, which is going to have a refresh ahead of next season. You've got the Hall of Fame, that's updated regularly, so you can see kind of how you compare to some of the top managers. There'll be loads of members' articles, team reveals, the Rate My Team tool, which is amazing to help you kind of inform your transfers, and loads of other stuff as well. Members' videos too with Mark and Andy North. So if your membership is expiring or has expired, make sure that you head over to the site and re-subscribe. And as I said, you can lock in the cheaper price before it goes up ahead of next season. But thank you all for watching, and I will see you all soon.